Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield & Company.
All right, here we go on Thursday, Cofield & Company. Hanging out. Stadium Swim. Lots going on today. We got the golf up on the big screen, another major. You can watch the Open all weekend long. 143-foot screen, and it's part of a big month at Circa Las Vegas. Cofield & Company, of course, here every Thursday. And a lot of those Thursdays in mid-June on to July, we're going to be tracking Copa America, and I know it's a really big deal here at Circa Las Vegas. They'll have tons of betting options. The games will all be on out here at Stadium Swim or inside at Circa Sports. So that, and along with UFC 303, which we'll get you an update on. The event has changed a little bit, so we'll bring in our MMA expert, Ryan McKinnell, in the middle of the show. We got multiple folks sitting in today as the company in just a little bit. Our buddy Dustin Swedelson, Swede, is back. And then good old Danny from the morning show is in just a little bit. Mateo with the setup here, and Griffin is back on the board running the controls in the Findlay Toyota studio. Remember, we've been giving away Lakers tickets. We got more today, so in the next 20 minutes or so, we'll give away some Lakers tickets. And those are Lakers tickets for the exhibition game on October 15th. T-Mobile Golden State is in town, so stick around for that. That's coming up in just a little bit. And we always want your feedback, trying to get more off the text line when you guys text in. Make sure it gets on the air. Findlay Kia text line, 702-364-1100, 702-364-1100. So we're going all the way until 6, and then we'll hand it off shortly after our show. The Aces come on. Again, want to remind everyone, I think this is important. I think we're doing something really good here. And it reminds me, I saw a tweet earlier today. One of the national TV critics shouted out a couple of local writer and another writer, and they're like, great stuff coming out on the WNBA. We are the only sports radio station in the country, and especially afternoon drive show, that gets out of the way for WNBA basketball because we care. And we talk a lot of WNBA here. Some of it good, some of it, you know, some of it bad, some of it critical. Aces are off to a shaky start. I'm starting to question if this team is going to have the moxie, at least early in the season, to put together a real good record. And then what happens after the Olympics when four Aces go to Paris and then come back? Anyway, Aces tonight are on the road. They're playing at the Mercury. You know, I labeled the Mercury the geriatric Mercury. Taurasi's been solid. She can't play defense anymore, but she's also 100 years old. Griner's back. She had, 24-9 over the weekend. And the way the Aces are playing right now, and I should mention Kalia Copper, who's been great. She's also a little grumpy. She exploded on a media member last week, which a little weird, but she's been great, averaging in excess of 19 points per game. So all of a sudden, the Mercury have become kind of dangerous, at least a mid-level team in the NBA. And the way the Aces are playing right now, Becky Hammon's kind of looking around like, okay, do we have a third option? Because Jackie Young has struggled. I don't think she's healthy. There's no Chelsea Gray. They overcame this the last couple of years, this star-studded, you know, big three or big four having a thinner bench. Well, now you lose one of them. Then Jackie Young's beat up. You got injuries on the bench. Right now it's a pretty thin team, and I would hope there's a little sense of urgency tonight. We'll see. I know Becky Hammons, she's got urgency. Watching the players, was it Friday night after the game? No, Tuesday night after the game, their press conference. Both Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson are like, long season. A couple of times they looked at the stat sheet, started laughing. I don't know. And then, you know, Becky's in this weird position where I'm sure, I mean, listen, the organization got in trouble allegedly for bullying De'Erica Hamby in a way they shouldn't have been bullying her, because Becky especially takes winning really seriously. So I'm sure while she's thrilled that four players are going to the Olympics, she got to do so with USA, and she also played twice for Team Russia, 2008 and 12. I'm sure right now she's thinking to herself, like, the Olympics are cool, but I need to get this team on track, but she can't say anything, right? And I do want to make a correction. Yesterday, we were having some fun with, and we're going to get Swede's opinion on Caitlin Clark and the snub on the Olympic team in like 40 minutes because everyone's got an opinion on it. I do want to point out yesterday, we were joking around about possible Caitlin Clark options during the Olympics. One is obviously rest. She's played a lot of basketball straight through months and months and months from college to the WNBA. We joked about, hey, maybe NBC, they want her on TV so bad, make her part of the TV crew, right? She's a sideline reporter. Or maybe she could do what Becky Hammon did years ago and play for another team. Apparently she's got an Italian background. And we were saying, hey, go play for Team Italy. And there was a little part of me, I'm like, you know, I got to look this up. And when I got home, because I often do this, when the show finishes, stuff starts hitting me that I said. And if you ever listen to the show, I tell you, the SO, the significant other, will be sitting on the couch or watching a little TV, and I'll be like, gee, damn it! And it'll be something random from like 427. Like, I teased something, I didn't get to it. I said something, and I didn't like what I said. Well, yesterday we were joking about Team Italy. Italy didn't actually make the field. So right now that's not an option, so we'll see what she does. And I still feel like there's going to be a round two and three of this where players are going to drop off, and they're still not going to select her. So stay tuned on that one. But the game tonight, last look, Aces are favored by a good number over the Mercury, and we'll get you the update in about 15 minutes on betting the game. And we'll get the number here at Circus Sports. So, NBA Finals last night. I think most of us were hoping, unless you're one of the few pukes, you have to be a New England or Boston puke who roots for the Celtics. As I pointed out, if you root for Boston teams and you don't live in Boston and you're not from Boston, stop, okay? You're a horrifying fan. You're the only ones who love these guys. That said, I was hoping last night, and I think a lot of the country was hoping, that the Mavs could make it a game. They were okay for a while, but then they fell down big. They make a run, and then something, if you watch the NBA enough, you see Luka do on a regular basis, but because it was in such a big spot last night, you know, probably the moments where, hey, it's do or die, he is a guy who doesn't play defense. He is a guy who pisses and moans about fouls. He's a guy, and you see this every once in a while. I see it watching college basketball. Every so often a player gets caught, and the good coaches don't let this happen, but every so often you see a player make a move, drive to the hole, you know, take a three. It's a miss. There's contact, and they're more interested in turning to the official and complaining about a call. And then meanwhile, the other team is now has a 4-on-3, a 5-on-4, whatever, 3-on-2, and Dope is standing in the backcourt. Like, they're not going to call the foul 8 seconds after when you think the foul happened. Get back. So Luka did it multiple times last night. If you watched it live, you could see it. It's been passed around, highlighted all last night and all today. He deserves it. BBW, Big Brian Windhorst. Love that guy. Hardcore NBA dude, and I trust that he has relationships, pretty good relationships with almost everyone in the league because of the way he operates. He will be a guy who praises people. He tells real stories. But on the flip side, to get the access, he doesn't have to praise people all the time. And he went freaking scorched earth last night. He was a little calmer this morning. I watched a little bit of Get Up. But the theme, again, and Jay Williams this morning on ESPN, just burying Luka. And he deserves it, man. This is something he does. He does it 100-plus times a season where he's moaning in the backcourt, letting the play go the other way. He plays a lot of Ole defense. And, yeah, the topic on this show today with, you know, multiple guests and company members is this one of those guys who maybe is never going to be able to play good enough defense or care about playing good enough defense or being responsible enough as a leader? I mean, the fouls he committed last night were absurd. And when it gets down to the end, stop. You have to know how many fouls you have. And I don't want to hear, and I guess we can examine it, but I don't want to hear that you don't call that foul. You do. If it's that obvious, you call the fouls down the stretch. I don't want to see star treatment. Now, I don't want to see, especially bigs, get, you know, 4 fouls in the first half. I think there are some fouls that have some leeway, but a lot of the stuff I watched last night, it was just poor positioning, lazy, ole. And if you think you're going to be granted some favor by officials on that stage, and keep in mind, they actually called a pretty open game. Now maybe that's the issue. Maybe it was the inconsistency that pissed people off. But, yeah, Luka was a disaster last night, so we'll get into that. Let's give away a pair of tickets right here. Lakers, Warriors, October 15th, T-Mobile. The tickets are available now for that exhibition game. They do it every year. It's going back as like a 30-year tradition. Lakers hit the ground in Vegas. People go crazy. Tickets are hard to get. T-Mobile, October 15th, AXS.com. That is just the beginning of us talking about Luka, who some on the show have deemed him one of the greatest players in the NBA, a guy who could go back and play in the 80s and win multiple titles. With that kind of defense and that sort of laziness and that attitude to just give up down the stretch, just take yourself out of the game with 4 minutes, I don't know, man. I don't want to overreact, but I don't know how that guy's going to win championships unless someone gets through to him, because last night was garbage.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
I'm going to apply the ultimate jinx. Kyrie will break out tonight. He'll have a good game. He'll score 27-plus. Luka will be Luka. They'll get a little better defensive effort. The Celtics won't be, and they haven't been great, but they got to get it done. That is a terrible way to approach picks and games and betting. But Mavs win! Hold me to it for tomorrow's show. Mavs win. Just a lesson to everyone in the vast sound crew at Lotus Broadcasting. When I say hold me to it and suggest that you play it the next day on the show, I'm joking. I don't know why you would do that to me. Why would they shame me like that? Dustin Sweetelson's in. He's a radio veteran. He knows the lead host. Respect. Show me some respect. Don't play back my bad pick.
Yeah, but the problem is, as the lead host, it means you talk the most, which means you have the most opportunities to say something that is so insanely incorrect that you'll never be able to relive it down until you do it again. Luckily, we're right around the corner from you doing it once again, Steve.
By the way, what I mean is I was really wrong on Kyrie at 35. Not 27. Look, no, look. I expected the Mavs to nut up a little bit, play some defense. But what I did not expect is for Luka to go like full Luka, and the pissing and moaning and sitting in the backcourt and, you know, complaining to the officials and then Olaying on defense and then committing stupid fouls. He's an awesome player. I think he's going to win NBA titles down the road, but that was a terrible look last night. Is that fair?
He became unlikable, unrootable for, and somehow a villain against the Boston Celtics, who everyone, myself included, cannot stand. He made Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Joe Mazzulla, who's the weirdest press conference we've ever had. I now like them because I dislike what Luka did so much. And I have an 18-1 ticket on the Mavericks to win the title. Mm. Look, I think you look at what Luka did, the immaturity, the whining after every play. Also, not even debates. The fouls that he thinks weren't fouls, 100% fouls on the last two especially. And to know that you're in that situation, in this spot in the series, at home, down 0-2, to not drop back a little bit with the physicality and to keep going at guys like that defensively, just it showed a lack of foresight. But everything that we're seeing from Luka with the lack of leadership, it's the opposite for like Jaylen Brown. To me, Jaylen Brown is everything we thought Kyrie and Luka were going to be in this series. He's composed. He's calm. He's a leader. And what are the rest of the Mavericks supposed to do, Steve, when their best player is complaining about every play? So that means he's rattled. He thinks that they're not going to win. So how's the rest of the team going to react when they see that, when they have less experience than him?
Well, they're not going to sit there and scream at him, because
you can't.
If they had all year, then maybe he wouldn't be doing this. But I'm guessing they're just like, we're not going to do it. I don't know if Luka would be like, shut the hell up, I'm awesome. But someone needs to do it, because he's not
likable right now.
Well, he's not like... Like, I think Jokic cares about basketball and cares about winning. Does Luka care about winning?
I think Luka...
And can Luka be dealt with? Like, can you yell at Luka and shame him where he's like, yeah, you know what, you're right, that was embarrassing.
I think Luka cares about winning in the scope of if he carries them on his shoulders and he gets all the credit for it. I think a lot of what we saw last night is why Jalen Brunson's no longer there. Because Jalen Brunson is a pretty blunt dude. He's pretty simple. He's about the game, playing it the right way. He's aggressive. There's no excuses. There's no blaming the refs or the coaches or your teammates. You carry it all on your shoulders. And Luka's out here looking for an excuse every chance he gets.
That was the next level. Did you come up with that yourself?
I just came up with it 7 seconds ago.
Stop.
Swear to you.
You didn't use it on your other show?
While we were... So I heard you on
You'd
my...
You'd be a full-time host right now. That is a great take.
I'm a 75% host.
I mean a one. You'd be a one.
Oh.
You'd be a one.
I don't
as
have
we opened with.
I don't have the looks, though. There's a TV angle to what I'm doing.
Stop.
Here's what I'd say, Steve. I heard you on my way in talking about when you're the host and you say things, you go back after the show and you look into what you said and you go, oh, this could have been better. I could have said this. Why did I say this? Caitlin Clark can't play for Italy because Italy's not in the Olympics. It's a great
thing. Don't you hate that? Like you get, you, no, you, after you do something, you're like, come on. You know what? The truth is, I'll admit, I the videos you see put out, like I might do some of them.
Yeah.
I put together a video because we had a really good, concise, quick conversation, like 2 minutes. It was about Team Italy, and I even talked about Team Russia, which I don't think she can qualify for. But I was, like, ready to hit send, and I'm like, you know, let me – Team Italy – oh, no! I wasn't even that concerned because I think people in the market are like, this guy's an idiot. He makes factual errors all the time. We know he's old. He says he's old. But it was the video because I was like, oh, this is good. And I'm like, delete, no,
no
video.
You lean into it more, and you now portray it as it was a troll job. You knew there was no Team Italy.
I can only do so many troll jobs.
You knew. You have to go next level with it. No, I'm ahead of you guys, and you're all reacting and clicking my thing. And according to Elon Musk, if you just click it, whether it's good or bad, that's a good thing for everyone.
The Brunson thing is brilliant, though. Because you look back on it. I mean, the Mavs have already been buried for letting Brunson go.
Well, they didn't want to bring him back.
Well, they offered him nothing.
Yeah.
And then the Knicks, you know, blow the money out of the water. Brunson would have signed for very, very little compared to what he's worth and what he got. Now, could he be more of the two guard? I don't know. Maybe he wanted to be a lead guard. But I love your point that he might be one of those guys. And maybe that's why they don't want him back. Have you seen that? Has anyone reported like Luka was kind of tired of Brunson on his ass?
I remember reading reports a couple weeks ago where it was the reason he wasn't back in Dallas because it's Luka's team. And this is a problem the NBA has, especially in an era where you're going to need multiple stars to get it done. To say that the team belongs to one singular star, that's an issue. So if we're all going to operate based on what Luka wants at 25, 26 years old, he's not LeBron James at 25, 26 years old. There's a very big gap there.
And a one-way player. Now, his one-way is awesome. He might be the best offensive player in the league.
Controls the pace in a way we've never seen.
But his D is so bad, and especially if he doesn't try.
Well, yeah. Also, your defense would be better if you were in better shape. I mean, round is a shape. But, you know, better.
I mean, I like that you brought that up, and I'm not doing any self-deprecation today with either one of us, that we might be a little chubby.
My therapist doesn't like when I do it.
Dude, I have no problem, because we live it. We live it. As a professional, high-level professional athlete, you do have to be in max shape, and a guy like that, you can't be lumpy, and we live it. You
I walked up 22 steps and I had to catch my breath just now. I counted every step.
Gassed. You almost took down the
I
whole
stopped.
Set. There were a couple wires. You had to lift your foot like 4 inches off the ground. You're like, I'm dragging it.
Yeah.
This whole show almost went off the air.
Because 22 steps. Luka Doncic feels like the end of every game, it's those 22 steps. He is struggling. And think about this. There's a reason Michael Finley took that beer out of his hand. There's a reason after they clinched the Western Conference – Michael Finley took that beer because he knew what was in front of him. And look, as someone with major eating problems, when I start drinking, I don't have a drinking problem, but once I start, I'm going to go all the way. If you're going to do anything, do it right. I think there was an element of Michael Finley knew Luka has one beer, Luka's having 12 beers.
I saw that's quite the claim. I saw a little bit of BBW.
Whoa.
Big Brian Windhorst going off on Luka. Did he mention the conditioning?
I don't think he mentioned the complaining, and that if he wants to be a winner and look over in the winning locker room, he's going to have to make a lot of adjustments with himself. Look, everything that happened last night was so immature and such a meltdown, and it's par for the course. This has been who he's been for a long time now. I think the act is getting old. I think as a society, the complaining about referees is the weirdest thing adults do. You're allowed to vote in elections coming up, but you complain about referees? Act like you've played a sport before. The people within the sport, the mindset needs to be, I played so well, I took referees out from making the decision on the result of this game. The fact that there are grown men who take to social media to complain about referees in the year of our Lord 2024 is one of the saddest things we have going in society.
I saw Evan Turner tweet something to the effect of, you don't make those calls on Luka. But to your point 3 minutes ago, they were so easy to call. They were so lazy. The one, and this is the one where you should really get, I'll use a big word, I don't know if it's correct, you should get excoriated over, right?
Excruciated? No. Excoriate? I don't know
when,
excoriated.
When you're in the backcourt after you miss a shot and and you drop a hammer on someone,
come on.
Like the rebounder pass to the point guard, that foul is added onto the total, and then you foul out with 6 with 4 minutes left. Like, bro, what were you doing? There was another one. The one on the baseline, he's trying to cover Jaylen Brown. He's not even moving, and he, like, hooks him. Like, you both go down. They're not calling that a charge.
But the audacity to look up and to say you have to challenge it. Did you hear Jason Kidd after? He's not happy. So Amin El-Hassan from, Metalark. From Metalark asked a great question about the foul on Jaylen Brown after the game and said, did you think about challenging it? Jason Kidd said, why don't we just challenge all of them at this point then?
Right.
Basically, Luka thinks he can never do any wrong. Buddy, one, letter of the law, all fouls. Two, you haven't earned that yet.
Swede's in. Dustin, Cofield and Company. Break here. We'll come back. We'll try to get a little more sanity. We got some more feedback and talking sanity on the Lakers coaching situation. Now they're going to interview J.J. Redick. Now we've got more information on Hurley. Is this situation going to smooth out here in the next 4 or 5 days and all the L.A. fans can calm down?
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
All right, I teased a little Laker coaching talk. We'll get to that inside of 10 minutes. But I was intrigued. And by the way, next 5 minutes, more Lakers tickets going out for the exhibition game October 15th here in town. Hold me to that. Hold me to that. I was intrigued by a text I got while you were huffing and puffing. By the way, we're going to put this whole thing together afterwards. All of the points of me getting on you and then you getting on you, and send it to your therapist. You'd be like, why are you letting this happen, Dustin? We've told you.
She asked for clips of my VEASAN show. I need to know what goes on here, what is discussed, what
Stop.
Is said. Not in a bad way, but she was just fascinated
like how bad is it?
Well, it's just I reveal way too much. I let everyone into my life.
It's radio, man. Good radio people do that, even if it's boring. Most of my stuff is boring.
Or people with mental health issues.
Okay, that too. Give me a fist bump. Text. Usually it's headline. Text. Need Las Vegas dating advice.
Oh, God, man. So we're approaching 3 years in the city. Love it here. I actually feel at home here. I think it's a great town. I enjoy myself. I could see myself staying here for a long time. So first question is, did you meet the significant other in town?
Yep.
So you met her in Vegas.
And I met her the way I've met almost every single woman that I've dated for an extended amount of time or stepped.
NIL deal?
I did pay for it. So initially that was a pit. No. No, almost 98%, 99% bar.
Just
kibitzing at a bar.
Well, where else are you going to go in the summer here? It's a casino. It's a bar. There's drinking involved. It has to be done.
I don't know. I hear all the time, and I think you're probably going to get to this theme, that it's really hard to meet people here. And it's like, I'm not good-looking. Can talk.
And
if you get a – let's be careful with this. But if you get a – if you're – I have a whole thing on this. There are people who simply are not bar people.
Yeah.
And I think that puts them at a disadvantage in terms of meeting folks. Because when you're at a bar and you have a couple of pops – the guard lowers, and then your personality kind of opens up. I'm not saying this is the only way it happens, and everyone out there's got a drink, but it
helps.
It does.
Yeah, it loosens it up.
And I also think a lot of people now in Vegas it's unique, and I'm gonna let you go here. In Vegas it's unique because not everyone goes to a bar just to drink and converse. You know the machines. You know, like I'm not gonna walk up to some lady who's like pounding the machine and pissed off. Like that's not what you do, but. There's a chance. But if you go in with an attitude like, first woman I talk to, I guarantee is not going to talk to me. Don't get mad. Move on.
No, but there's also a stigma.
Chat it up.
I think we live in a world where everyone's on their phones now in public so much.
Ooh,
just going up
point.
And speaking to someone, even if it's a man, just to have a conversation at a bar that's sitting next to you, it's clunky and awkward. People are not as accepting of the random person just making conversation. I'll be honest. I am that person also. When someone starts talking to me, unless it is a gorgeous woman who I would like to hit on, I am not giving them the time of day either. So that is an issue as well.
What a jerk.
Okay.
Not me. I talk to everyone.
So been dating mostly on the apps. No, all on the apps in this city. A couple road games. Flew a couple in for road games. That did not go well either. Road games, I feel like, have to be done here. Just because, look, the attractive... Take it back. Most of the attractive women in this town make money off of being attractive. Take that for whatever it's worth. And I don't just mean gentlemen's club, and I don't mean that type of stuff. I just mean you go into a casino, the women working are usually attractive. They meet people from all walks of life every day at their job. They are not on these dating apps.
Are you talking cocktail waitresses?
Whatever. Waitresses, bartenders, yeah. Hosts, whatever
are,
it may be.
The problem there, those are big mountains to climb because they're bombarded.
Silicon Mountains.
I lobbed you one there. You turned it around quickly. But those are hard targets. But then I think that's augmented by fresh groups of women coming to town all the time, kind of open to having a good time. Now, if they're in a group of like eight, and then you've got the militant one who's going to protect the group and won't leave. Yes, I forget who did the joke, but like, I'm not going to leave any soldiers behind. Like, you're having a good time with one of them, and all of a sudden it's like, we all have to go. Like, no, you have to go because you're not having fun. She's having fun.
Yes.
We're working towards something.
So
leave.
They're kind of out of the
mix.
Take
a picture of me. Here's my license. If anything happens, you know who did it. Sorry, so, a little too icky there. But.
The women working that are super, super attractive, out of my league anyway, but I still like to shoot my shot. I'm like John Starks in the playoffs. Like, I might miss, but I'm going to shoot.
What was he, 2 of 17?
Yeah, I can't remember if it was 2 of 16 or 17.
Are you 2 of 17 each month?
I wish, no.
Right, the 2 of 17 is pretty good. Right?
I would take 2 of 17 right now.
You'd take 2 of 70.
Take 1 of 4,000 right now.
Pretty good. Shoot your shot.
So I've been out with a few women in this town, mostly locals, actually. That's who I end up going out with the most, not the other transplants. I don't know how that happens. The problem is women in this town don't know that dates are supposed to end. Because they lived here, because they grew up here, they don't know there's a thing called final call at bars. So the night just keeps going.
Yeah.
And it gets more expensive. And it gets drunker. And then things develop, and then there's no longer a second date.
It's too much.
Things
develop, which means what? You say too much?
Say too much.
You didn't pay the bill.
We do too much. There's no return. There's no mystery anymore hanging over.
Yeah.
Basically, one date turns into three. So I have that issue. And then finally, the most recent issue is very unique. You know, I met this girl. I normally just do drinks on a first date just to get to know them. But we were vibing. There was a good vibe. And we bonded over our love of sushi. So I said, you know what? I'll go to your world in Henderson, make a res at Green Valley at the sushi place there because it had great reviews. I go, hey, reservation, 6:30 Saturday. See you there. She goes, can't wait to meet you. I arrive about 10, 12 minutes early. Send a text. Hey, got here a little bit early, but I'm going to walk up to the restaurant. I'll see you when you get here. It's been about 10, 11 days now. I'm still waiting for a text back. There's a flakiness factor of women in this town that I've never experienced where you could be talking and vibing and setting up plans and then they disappear in a way. This could be everywhere, but I'm experiencing it more in Las Vegas. I lived in D.C. I lived in New York. I lived in Atlanta. I lived in Los Angeles. It is a unique place.
What do you think happened? Something serious? Or are you accusing her of just flaking or is she dead?
I would accept death. I wouldn't prefer it.
I mean, tell... Be honest, yesterday, when – I don't know if with Patrick Maher and your show on VSiN, if you guys got into the Aaron Rodgers thing, there had to be the smallest part of Aaron Rodgers not being at camp for the Jets, and there were a bunch of people who just went nuts on him, and I was like, there's cancer here. Like, that's – like, my fear is – because I've done that before where you flip out, and then, like, a day later, like, no, he had terrible news. He can't make Jets camp because it's real, and you were calling him a scumbag.
You know, that's fair. We don't know what we don't know.
It's not like you gave out the woman's name.
No.
It's just rando woman. We didn't accuse anyone of anything.
I didn't tell everyone her name was Brie. I didn't do that. I did not say that. So you're right.
There was a subtlety to the conversation until right there.
Yeah, but what I would say is just a text back. Just, you know, hey, can't make it. Sorry. Or here's
change my mind.
But here's the bigger
don't
fear.
Like you or sushi.
Here's the big
I could deal with it.
Here's the bigger fear. I was looking at my phone waiting. What if she walked up? I didn't look up. She didn't like what she saw, and she bounced. There's that element as well.
And she had no access to a full body shot.
Oh, no, there were full body shots. But we did not exchange social medias, so she could see everything. And
I'm sorry, man. This is a... I thought this was going to be a really fun hour. It got really dark and depressing.
No, I'm free.
Get you a drink after the show.
This is why I hang out with Adam Hill late at night.
Yes, you've got plenty of free time. You guys both vibe at the bars. I've seen his game. All right, coming up, let's get the answer to the Laker coaching situation. Redick, the latest update is he is going to interview, but there's still a lot of hard feelings about Dan Hurley, and there's a lot of hard feelings about Caitlin Clark. I don't know if Dustin is one of the lunatics who's really mad about Caitlin Clark like every day.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Okay, we promised Laker tickets for the exhibition game coming up October 15th. We've got multiple pairs today. Tickets are on sale. These will be very tough tickets to get. The closer the game is, people get crazy. Lakers in town taking on the Warriors. T-Mobile, October 15th, AXS.com. Pair going out right now. Pair going out right now. 364-1100, caller 7. Griffin is the man with the plan and the price. 364-1100. From some feedback up on Twitter, Derek, who's one of our big P1s, always grading who's in as the company, says, damn, that was a great Luka take. I didn't even put together or put the Brunson concept together. There you go, Dustin. Nice job.
I'll poke holes in my own take.
He followed it up by saying his ref take ruined it. Okay. It can change like that. Man.
And just remember, you have the right to vote. That blows me away. You're allowed to vote in elections, decide society and how it works, and you complain about referees impacting a game.
Referee anger.
I mean, I'll poke holes to my Brunson take. I can say that's the reason Brunson's not back, but at the same time, they didn't want him back, so they made a decision, Brunson or Doncic. They obviously chose Doncic, the better player, but maybe not the right guy to hand the keys to, because I feel good about my Knicks.
I like having Sweet in because he's pretty positive. I mean, he's got some negative takes, so he's pretty positive. People are looking for hope. They're looking for a future, looking for a gleam in their eye. Dan Hurley really stung for Lakers fans. That really hurt them.
Did they ever really think it was real, or did they think they were being okey-doked, like he was always going to break up and he was just using you, right? Sometimes the girl across the bar, we just did a whole dating thing, is only looking at you and talking to you to make the guy that she likes jealous. I only know because it's worked on me. I ended up going home alone multiple times. Mom's bar in Los Angeles. Bad night. I don't think they ever really thought that was real. If they thought it was real, they were lying to themselves. And it's weird what this organization's become, because this was a pinnacle, hallmark organization in all of sports for a really long time. And right now, they have an issue. They're building for the future and the now, which is a horrible place to be in sports. But as long as LeBron James is on your team, you do not run your team. That is the biggest issue they have right now. And I never believed Dan Hurley was going to be a coach that LeBron James is going to play for. That was the big thing.
Nor did I. I don't think he's an NBA coach right now either from a maturity standpoint. And I didn't think he was going to go in there and scream and yell and try to motivate AD and LeBron. It's not going to work.
Is Dan Hurley coming up on the show after me? Because he's done just about every other media outlet in the country.
I know, you see that today?
Come on. You're doing a media tour because you didn't take a job? That's what we're doing now? You've won back-to-back titles. And I'm a big Dan Hurley guy. I'm from New York. You're from Jersey. Everyone I knew that was good at basketball, not myself, went to the Bob Hurley senior camp growing up. That was the big thing to go to if you were any good at basketball. I loved his brother. His brother's my favorite college player of all time.
If you were any good at basketball, that's where you went.
I didn't.
I went to, funny enough, because then there was a connection to Vegas eventually. I went to a basketball camp for a couple of years at Villanova. Yeah.
In Philly?
And Raleigh was a jackass, and then he came out here and was a jackass.
How old were you?
At the time? And this was like right after they won the championship, so he was big at the time. Oh, yeah. Someone keyed his car, so I don't know what happened. He had a Cadillac.
At the camp?
Yeah, someone keyed his car.
Must have pushed him a little too hard.
I don't know. Yeah, I was 16 when I went, or maybe 15.
Oh, so you were probably fairly legit then.
I was not legit. Oh. No, I just went to the camp.
Oh, they just took your money?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a good time there.
Sure.
Yeah, it was fun. Learned some stuff.
Sure. Look, I love Dan Hurley.
It wasn't like I was playing against Division I prospects. It was kind of the lower division.
But all this is weird. To do a media tour after you didn't take a job to move up, and then you're going to get your money that you wanted from UConn all along. Also, this on the heels of the last we heard from him before they won the title was, God, I just hope this keeps going. I'm milking this for all it's worth. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, because I hate NIL. I hate the future of the sport. I hate doing this over and over again.
Just follow it.
Well, of course. He's like you and I. Yeah. We will complain about everything we have to do, but at the end of the day, if we didn't have something to complain about, we wouldn't be happy.
Yeah. I don't like doing radio. Yeah, you do. Shut up. You have a good job. There's not that many jobs. For Hurley to be like, I hate NIL. You're flush with money. You're like a top 12 program for money. You're stealing guys off other rosters. What do you mean you hate it?
Yeah.
You're not the seventh place team in the Big East with a budget of $300,000 for an entire team.
So now you have to go do your job. That's the unfortunate thing for Dan Hurley. Now he has to go actually do his job. He can't complain. He can't look around anymore.
I don't want to keep beating him up because I have the last couple of days. Like I said, I think he's too immature right now to be an NBA coach. I don't think his style would relate with NBA players. But, man, he's a really good coach. But, man, he's got a lot of people buffaloed. Like, the talk shows love him.
Yeah.
They the college basketball media, you want to talk about dropping to your knees. They freaking love him.
Yeah, but that's you have to do that because if you get boxed out from access to him, well, now everyone else is doing things, writing pieces, posting audio, doing interviews that you now can't do, and you know they're the best team in basketball going for history, and you've been boxed out of the conversation.
You can be objective and tell both sides of the story. I don't think he's going to shut you out.
Actually, it's ass-kissing
to, like, the nth degree that drives me nuts.
You know, he does feel like a guy that does want to embrace debate a little. He wants you to push back a little. But I got the solution for the Lakers. I know what they should do. It's not James Borrego. James Borrego has failed twice in two small markets, Orlando and Charlotte. That's going to be the coach of the Lakers? I mean, Frank Vogel was fired and then hired by Phoenix and then fired again, and he's back out there. They replaced him with Budenholzer there. That's the Spider-Man meme looking at each other, Budenholzer and Vogel. Both got rings. Both are whatever. We're going to act like the NBA head coach is like this next level piece to a championship. You look at the Los Angeles Lakers. They have handed the keys over to LeBron James. LeBron James makes the decision on who the coach is going to be. That's why everyone assumes it's going to be J.J. Redick, but I don't think it should be. It might be, but it shouldn't be. Because LeBron James cares about his legacy, and he needs another championship. How much does he care about his legacy? Well, he just went and won the first ever in-season tournament this past year, Steve. Why? Because Michael Jordan can't unretire and win an in-season tournament. They're going to add it to the Wikipedia bio. They're going to add it to the plaque in the Hall of Fame in Springfield. So, if LeBron James is already your GM, and LeBron James is your best player, then LeBron James should be your player head coach coming up for the Lakers.
That was a lot of buildup for something that I don't think is going to happen. I mean, it did in the past,
but Russell
did it.
But whoever you hire, hasn't happened in a long time, whoever you hire is going to have to listen to LeBron anyway. Every play he's going to call. And that's what that podcast was. It wasn't just about getting J.J. Redick's Q rating up. It was letting everyone know LeBron James knows more about basketball than you. We all knew that already, but he had to then prove it and give us the details. LeBron James should just take over, be head coach, another accomplishment Jordan never did, and do his thing as player head coach.
Are you mad about not being able to see Caitlin Clark in the Olympics?
I'm mad that everyone's mad about it. I don't.
I'm not.
Steve, how old are you?
54.
I'm 39. I'm at a point in my life where I'm not adding sports I care about. I'm subtracting.
Really?
Netflix is a great
thing.
Can't
you do both? I've added some, and to replace stuff I've subtracted.
But you're replacing. You're not dropping down. Like, look, replacing.
What's the goal? By my age, you're down to like two?
How many things do you really care about? My point here is you all just started caring about Caitlin Clark about 3 months ago. Now you're an expert on whether or not she's fit to be on Team USA. You're an expert on where she belongs. And don't be wrong, I actually enjoyed watching the women's tournament this year. I really had a good time. I thought there was something about the game where it was just pure and everything was right. Like the lack of all the athleticism I thought I was going to miss, I didn't miss. I actually enjoyed watching real basketball. I thought it was pure basketball.
There was a shot in there.
Kind of.
There was.
But to sit here and to act like something you just started caring about, you're an expert on, is an insane thing to do. It's also the most American thing to do.
I don't think most people who are mad about her Olympic exclusion are talking about this as a basketball story.
Oh.
It's an attention story.
Yes.
It's a now, I mean, that one, the sudden concern about growing the game of women's basketball.
Stop.
And that was kind of what McNutt told Stephen A., like, you're all worked up about this, and now you're into growing the game. Like,
oh,
you should have been doing this before Caitlin Clark really
she's
got big.
By the way, she's dead on. She's awesome. She's awesome.
You know what? He freaking unleashed some lions. One, team woman is very dangerous, right? And for legitimate reasons, guys like, you know, Matt Lauer are gonzo because they wore creeps.
Mm-hmm.
But if women bond together, it's a scary force. They just don't bond together that often. And Stephen A., for like 5 days, I'm like, bro, take a step back. Like, you cannot talk about this for a couple days, and most people are going to be like, all right, they're not going to miss it. I was like, you're not winning. I don't care how powerful you think you are. You are not. Come on. Anyone who's been in a relationship, you're not winning. It's a long play. Just get out.
But also, he's surrounding himself with the best. Monica McNutt's awesome on the Knicks games, but secondly, I thought she put him in his place during that argument. Andrea Carter ain't backing down to no one. She's not scared of the argument, and I thought she held her own.
I thought she was
and
great
dominated
on the
as
whole
well.
Marketing thing. She's like, basically, she said, "I don't want to be you."
Yeah,
like I don't want to be a hot take, hot shot. Well, which, by the way, if the goal is to make the max amount of money, she's wrong. But I don't think that's her goal. And
no,
she said it.
She's going to stay true to herself. I respect it. As someone who says a lot of things, maybe in the last 30 minutes or so, that maybe on the other side of this argument, I thought both of them owned him in that argument and put him in his place on his own show. And I thought it was a beautiful thing to watch. And by the way, I'm a big fan.
Were they all part of a work? And Stephen A. had this kind of plan. He's like, I will, you know, let me show myself to be a little bit vulnerable. No. Or what? Because I believe what I was watching, unless he's an incredible actor, what I watched on TV, and I don't watch the show, I watch clips.
Yeah.
What I watched on TV, and then when he ran for 35 minutes on his own podcast, I was like, this is real. He's irked. He didn't like being pushed.
I think it was real. I do not think it was a game being played. I think they got him good, and I think he will then take credit for it in the end.
Well, he's not backing down of like, you know, I'm the maker of champions. Like, dude, these women were doing stuff already.
They know the game.
They're talented. Now, did they have a platform like yours?
No.
No, but your show's also that I enjoy the show in its basic format, but you really don't get to speak a lot. You don't really get to stretch your talents. Like, I don't. That's to me, anyone in any business where they're like, basically, my tree includes this and this. I made you, and you're like, wait a second. Like even Oscar De La Hoya, he's gotten into it in recent years with Canelo, and he made the claim like, I made you. Like, yeah, you gave me good exposure, but Oscar, you were also a creep with me. You screwed me over. You bailed on me in my biggest fight against Mayweather. You were supposed to be there. You weren't. Like, I appreciate the exposure, but you didn't make me. I'm awesome.
Yeah, you also can't outsource it to 25 people and claim that you created all of them because there's a reason you found them to begin with.
Another set of Laker tickets going out before the end of the show. We're going until 6. We're live here at Circa Stadium Swim. Swede's going to stick around for a little longer. Danny's going to step in as well. We got a star-studded cast here. And, you know, I'm here too. Steve Cofield on the road. Stick around. Another hour on the way.